Open your Bibles this morning to Matthew 28, again, as we continue with this series, Authority of the Believer. I want to read this foundational text again this morning, and then we're going to pick up from where we left off last week. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Last week we were talking about what authority was, what it meant to have authority, why we had to be given authority or delegated authority. And this morning we want to build on that and talk about where we're seated, because that's important. We need to understand where we are seated in the realm of the Spirit, because that has everything to do with the authority that God has given us as a church. If we don't understand this, you're always going to be subject to the enemy's lies and his deceptions. And can I say this? There was never a time where God expected us to bow to the deception of the lawless one. Never. There's never been a time where he expected it. He expects the church to rise up in the authority that's been delegated to the church. So let's first look at our foundational scripture for this series, Matthew 28, verse 18, from the King James. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. That word power, or power, is best translated authority. Authority. We've been given authority. So like I shared with you last week, when I was in law enforcement, that badge gave me authority, but what backed that badge was power from the state. True? Badge isn't going to stop a motor vehicle, but the power that's behind the badge will. And we need to understand that that's the way we are in spiritual things. God is the power behind the authority. And you might be thinking, well, you know, we're on earth and he's in heaven. That's true, and it's also false. God is in heaven, we are on earth, but where's our spirit? In heavenly realm. We have to understand this, because if we just see ourselves on a natural earth plane, we're always going to be subject to an enemy that's defeated. We've got to understand this position of authority that we've been given. So go with me this morning now to Ephesians chapter 1 firstly. And have a bit of time in Ephesians. This letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus is filled with power, and there's a lot of punch in it. But I like the first couple of verses in chapter 1 where he begins the letter. And he says this, if you're with me in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle. That means it's a calling, not a title. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, peace from God and Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I want to say that again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, not some, all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Now, let me qualify that term, heavenly places, because in the Bible, heavenly realms can be three primary realms. One is the abode of God, sometimes referred to as the third heaven. Paul speaks about that. So the abode of God and angels, that's heaven. Now, when we talk about having authority in heaven and earth, we're not talking about authority in heaven, God's abode. Would we agree with that? That's not the heaven we're talking about. Now, there's another heaven, the lower heavens of the stars or the outer space. That's a celestial, the celestial realm. There's a lot of spiritual activity happening in that realm, that outer space realm. And then, of course, you've got the clouds and the skies, that atmospheric region. So when we're talking about heavenly realms, we're talking about that location where the prince of the power of the air operates. That's where he operates. So we need to understand that. So I'm not saying that we've been given authority over heaven where God resides. That's not the authority. Firstly, you don't need authority there. Everything's good. There's no problems. There's nothing that needs to be bound or loosed. Heaven is a really good place to be. And if you're born again and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're going there. Now, the other side of this is glorious, is it not? It's glorious. We don't get too fixated on this realm. We need to think about that region beyond this realm. So we know that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now we're going to unpack that a little bit because that's a very important point. If we're not in Christ, we don't have the blessings. If we're not in Christ. Now, go with me to verse 16. Just over the page, verse 16. Now, Paul's praying a prayer here. Now, of course, this prayer came by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this prayer has relevance to anyone who wants to pray it. He's praying this to the church at Ephesus, but can I encourage you? Pray this prayer and a number of the prayers that Paul prayed in this book because they're very, very powerful. Have a look at it in verse 16. He says, Paul saying, I cease not to give thanks for you, the church at Ephesus, making mention of you in my prayers. So he's interceding that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. What a powerful prayer. To seek the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. You can pray that prayer. I'd pray it daily if I could, if I remember to. I should. Because look what we're asking here, that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Do we want revelation of God in His Word? Of course we do. Well, that prayer is for us, not just for the church at Ephesus. We can pray that prayer. Keep reading. That the eyes of your understanding are enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. In other words, this was active and this was operative and working in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. So this power raised Jesus from the dead. Okay? Doesn't Romans say that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies? The same power. The same power that raised Jesus made us alive. Because Jesus is alive, we're alive. Keep reading. For which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, we know in this case, He's in that third heaven realm. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. There's many scriptures throughout the Bible that make reference to Jesus at the right hand. There's prophetic words in Psalms. Jesus makes reference to it. And all through the writings and the letters from the different writers in the epistles, there's reference to the right hand of God where He's seated. Now, Jesus is the head, is He not? Who's the body? Is the body connected to the head? Yes. Of course it is. The body is connected to the head. So if Jesus is seated in heavenly places, where are we seated? Doesn't sound like too many really are comfortable with that. I ask again, if Jesus has been raised up and seated at the right hand of the Father, where is his body located?
Same place.
Same place. Same place. There's not a head here in this room this morning or this hall that's separated from his body. Where your body's seated, your head's seated. Where Jesus is seated is where his body is connected. Now, for a large part of the church, that's not a revelation. But it needs to be, because he's given us power and authority to do things. The trouble is we're seeking God to do things that he's told us to do. In fact, nowhere in the New Testament is there any reference to us asking God to deal with the devil on our behalf. Nowhere. There is no scripture anywhere in the New Covenant that tells us or teaches us that we're to ask God to get the monkey off our back. Nowhere is that in scripture. Now, the reason why that's the case is because he's delegated authority to the body. To the body. He's delegated that authority. Now, look at this. Keep reading. So he's raised him and he's at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet. Where's the feet? Where are the feet attached? To the body. You don't have feet attached to the head. Feet are attached to the body. So if he's put all things under his feet, that means we have authority over all things that are under our feet. Would that be correct? So remember this, he's been raised up far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So God's made Jesus the head over the church, which is his body. But because we're seated with him, we are connected with him, that means all those principalities and powers and dominion and might is subject to us also. We're not subject to a defeated enemy. We have authority. To a large extent, the church doesn't operate in the power and the authority that the word tells us because they don't understand it. You know, we get attacked and we think, oh, well, we just have to suck it up. No, we don't. We're to resist the devil. We're to resist him. How do we do that? With the authority that we've been given. We've been given authority. Why? Because we're seated in a heavenly realm, spiritually speaking. Spiritually speaking. We're in a heavenly realm. So, you know, just reading that last verse again there, verse 23, and he's put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. We're the body of Christ. The body of Christ has delegated authority, and we need to exercise that delegated authority. Now, you don't need to turn there, but you can make a note of it in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 25. And it says that Jesus must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So Jesus is going to reign until he puts all the enemies under his feet, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So we're the feet. We're the feet. The church is the body of Christ. The church has been given authority. Jesus said, all power, meaning authority, has been given to me. Go. So that's delegated now. He says, I want you to go. I want you to make disciples. I want you to do all the things that you saw me do, because I've now given you power. The trouble is that the moment the enemy responds with lies and deceit, we regress. We're not to do that. We need to exercise authority over him. He doesn't have authority over us at all. He's got nothing that he can exercise over the church. We are redeemed. We're redeemed. We're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are the called out ones. We're the ecclesia. We're the church. And we have authority that no one else on planet Earth has. Do you realize that? No one on planet Earth has authority that the church has. The one thing the devil fears more than anything else is a Christian that knows their authority. That's the one thing he fears. Because he knows when you say get, he's going to go. Now you'll find in this church, you're not going to see people walking around in circles chanting. We're not going to do that. We're not going to spend half an hour trying to cast a devil out of someone. One word, that's it. And don't ever base the result on what you see. You base it on what you said. A lot of people don't get that. Well, I laid hands on someone and nothing happened. Well, you don't live by sight. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Someone comes up here for prayer and we pray some prayer over them. That's it. Thank you, Father God, done in Jesus' name. You go outside of that and the devil has you. Because he knows you're not fair dinkum. He'll play you for a break. Oh, well, you know, maybe next time, you know, try it next time. Maybe next time. There won't be another next time. We've got to understand the authority that he's given us. He's given us his authority. It's been delegated to the church. And he wants the church to operate in that authority. It's very powerful. And when we operate in this level of authority, we're going to see changes. Now, let's keep reading in Ephesians chapter 2. Just keep reading from where we were. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, meaning he's made you alive. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He's referred to the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. He's a wicked spirit. He's called lots of things, but he's also the prince of the power of the air. He's got operation in this atmospheric realm. Now you might be thinking, well, hang on, hasn't he been defeated? Yes, he has. He's got no power and authority, but there's still a lease on earth. The lease that God gave Adam hasn't expired, so he's still operating in that realm. But we've been raised up above principalities and powers and rulers and might. Above. We're not subject to him. We're not subordinate to him. We've been raised above him. We tell him what to do. He doesn't tell us. You might think, yeah, but he's always attacking me. Well, what's your response? If it's, God, get the devil off my back, he never will. He never will. It's a wasted prayer. God allows what we allow. This for some is a shock. What do you mean God's not going to do something? God won't do what he's already done. He's already done it. He's already given us all power and all authority. He's told us to go. He's told us to stand against the enemy. Resist him. Steadfast in faith. That's what we're to do. And if we don't, he'll continue to operate in our lives. He'll continue to. This is so important. So let's keep reading. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior or lifestyle in time past in the lust of our flesh. That means the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was our default nature. So before we said yes to Jesus, we had a sin nature. But that sin nature was removed when we said yes to Jesus, and now we have a righteous nature. That's why we can now stand in the presence of God. We are raised up and seated with him. Look at it. Look at the next verse. Hallelujah. For God, but God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. So he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace he is saved. And has raised us up together. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in the world, we're not of the world. We have to separate the two. We're in the world, we're not of the world. There's a difference. We've been raised up and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, of course we are, because that's where all the authority and dominion and power has been given. It's been given to Jesus. He's the head and we're the body, and he now wants the body to operate in the earth in that power and in that authority. Now, we can choose to ignore that, or we can choose to walk in it. When we walk in it, things happen differently in our lives. Things begin to change, because we're operating in the authority that God has given us as a church. So understand something. Our position is heavenly, spiritually speaking. And that's the most important thing, because we are not dealing with flesh and blood in the earth. Is that correct? Yep. Our fight's not with people. Get that out of your thinking. We don't fight people. The only thing we stand against is spirit. We love people. We don't fight people. We don't actually fight the devil either, because why would you be fighting someone who's defeated? We resist him, but we certainly don't attack flesh and blood, because flesh and blood is not our enemy. Never has been, never will be. But for some of us, you know, we allow that to, you know, cloud our thinking. You know, well, someone did me wrong. Well, so what? God gives us an answer. Love your enemy. We talked about that for a long time in the previous series. Now, you know, he's getting serious with us about some things. He says, I want you to understand where you are spiritually seated. You've got to get this. We've all got to get this, because there shouldn't be a day where this enemy has authority over God's people. He's defeated. But do you believe that? Oh, he's running me ragged. Do you know? Well, what have you done about it? Well, I got all these voices in my head. Well, command them to go in Jesus' name. I've got all these things going on. You know, there's, you know, everything I touch seems to just go pear-shaped. Take authority against the devil with the authority that you've been given as a believer. Now, it doesn't matter whether you are a brand new Christian or whether you've been doing this for 50 years, that authority is in you if you're born again. If you're a born-again child of God, you have authority. And I want you to think about this. The greatest prophet of the Old Testament was who? John the Baptist. Isn't that what Jesus said? The greatest in the old was John. But the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Now, the reason why the least in the kingdom is greater than John is because we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers and rulers and might. And dominion. He said it. And that's got to be worth shouting about. Amen. I mean, hallelujah. That's why, you know, why would you want to go back to an Old Testament life where you're under the bondage of the law, when the only way the Spirit could operate is when the Spirit came upon them, primarily the prophet, the priest, and the king, and whenever he chose to do something? But that's not the case today. The Spirit of God's indwelt in us. Well, of course it is, because we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. He's the head, we're the body. We're the anointed ones. That's what Christ means. It's not his last name. We're the anointed ones, and we have an anointing on our lives to do what he's called us to do. What sort of God would tell his children, go out and fight that enemy out there, but I'm going to give you no power and authority, no weapons, I'm going to give you nothing, just go out there and do it. He'd be a child abuser. But he's given us everything. He's given us his name. He's given us his authority. He's given us the blood that covers. We've got the power. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got the living word of God that we can speak. He's given us everything. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to do what you have to do. Powerful stuff. Why? Because he's raised us up to sit together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the position that we have now. So we've been made alive together with Christ. When he was raised, we were raised. That's what baptism is. You know, you go down into the waters, you know, and you come up new. That's what it represents, you know, that old nature goes under, but you come up raised anew in Christ Jesus. That's what baptism signifies. It's got no other power in it otherwise, other than do it because Jesus said do it. And the reason why he said do it is I want you to understand naturally what's happened spiritually. I want you to realize that you've been raised up. I was raised up. You've been raised up with me. We are together. My head and my body are not separate. They're together. They're together. And he's given us the name to use. We've got the name. We can exercise authority by using the name above every name. And of course, at that name, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God. And there's no name, there is not one name in this earth that supersedes the name of Jesus. Amen. So every medical name that exists in a medical dictionary, it's subordinate to the name. It's subordinate to the name of Jesus. Anything that you're going through is subordinate to that name. If you're willing to exercise the authority that you've been given as a believer, and me, this is for me too. We've got to understand this. Don't let the devil see your sweat. Don't let him see it. Don't give him reason to have an attack at you because something goes on and all you do is talk about the problem. Don't do that because you empower him to deceive you. Why not talk about the victory? Someone gives an evil report, a bad report, and we become Joshua's and Caleb's and we'll say, we're well able to overcome. We're well able to take the land. We're well able to stand against this. That's not going to affect us. That each situation with the finances, it's done in Jesus' name. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm seated with him. It's his issue, not mine. You could speak like that. I could speak like that. Because we've got that authority. He wants us to maintain our position of authority and not let the enemy deceive us. He's a deceiver and he's very good at it. The majority of God's people don't exercise this authority. That is sad. And that's not a criticism. It's a sad indictment that the majority of God's people are running to someone for help. Now, you know what? When we're babies, we might have that for a season. You know, people draw alongside you. We've got the training wheels on spiritually. We're on the sincere milk of the word. But even Paul says in Hebrews chapter 5 that we can't stay babies. There should be a time when we become teachers. How is it that you're not teaching now? You're still babies needing milk. I can't feed you meat because you're still babies. We've got to grow in this and understand what our authority is. Why have we got this authority? Because there's an enemy still in the earth. And he's not going away in our lifetime. I don't believe. Unless he's going to be cast into the dungeon for 1,000 years in the next 20 or 30 years, I suspect that he's going to be around a bit longer yet. So if we know that that enemy is in the earth, operating in the earth, roaming around seeking whom he can devour or whom he may devour, if we know that, and we know he's the prince of the power of the air. We know he's, the God of this world system. And we know that he's a spirit of error, not the spirit of truth. And we know he's the Antichrist. Call him what you want to call him. If we know that, then we have to understand our authority to deal with him when he comes against us. Why do we need to know that? Because he's going to come against us. Why is that? Because you're righteous. He wanted to be like the Most High God, didn't he? Well, God's raised the church up and seated the church in heavenly places. Jesus at the right hand of the Father. We're at the right hand of Jesus. Now, right hand is a position of authority. That's what he wanted. The enemy wanted that. I'll be like the Most High God. I. And God said, out you go. He didn't last very long. But God has raised us up and seated us. That's why the enemy hates the church. Doesn't have a problem with religion. He's the architect of that. Religion's good for him because he just keeps people believing in things and people and relying on, you know, someone's title to guide them. But every Christian needs to understand their authority as a believer to be able to speak something out when there's an enemy attack, say, no, you're not coming to this house. Get in Jesus' name. You don't need to say much. Study the ministry of Jesus. Whenever he spoke in boldness, whenever he ministered in power, his words were very brief. Peter, come. Lazarus, come forth. Peace, be still. Now, when he was teaching, he would have long discourse, but not when he ministered in authority and power, because he knew his words, the moment they went out, they wouldn't return void. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? You know, when we lay hands on someone, you pray the prayer of faith, the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they what? Shall recover. Well, you walk away and nothing happens. Well, don't be too concerned about that. You did what you were supposed to do, lay hands on the sick. Leave the rest to God. Don't let the natural, you know, overtake your position of authority in the supernatural. Don't be moved by, well, if I can't see a result, it didn't work. That's a dangerous place to be as a Christian. Amen. You can't minister in that. You've got to minister under the authority that the Word gives us. He says, do it, we do it. Don't be concerned about the end result. You just declare it in Jesus' name. Command that thing in Jesus' name to go. And then thank the Father for it. Thank Him. Always have a thankful heart. Keep rejoicing in the Lord and believing that the victory is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just go forward to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. And look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I want you to see something there. Don't be strong in your might. Don't be strong in your ability. We're not to be strong in us. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Because we're in Christ. We're in Christ Jesus. We are the body of Christ. He's the head. We're the body. He says, if you're connected to the head, you're going to be strong. You're going to be strong. So say it again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles means trickery or schemes or strategies, so that you can stand against it. He expects us to stand. He's not taking the monkey off the back. You've got to stop that understanding of God. God's not going to do something that He's already done. There's no more healing for the earth other than what He's already made available. You don't go to God and say, God, you know, if it be your will, Father, just heal this body, that prayer will go nowhere. That's a faithless prayer embalmed with unbelief. Why is that? Healing's already available. It's available to the believer who's willing to take it by faith. Father, I thank you that you, through Jesus, has made healing available to me. I take my healing now in Jesus' name. You'll see something different in your body. You'll see a change. That's the same when it comes to the enemy. Enemy, get behind me in Jesus' name. You're not going to deceive me. That's not my thought, devil. That ain't going to happen. Get. We can't talk like that. We've got that authority. God's very comfortable with that. You know, some sort of, well, what do you mean just go to the throne and just make a demand on God? Yes. That's what God loves, when His children run up to Him, jump on His knee, look Him in the eye and say, Daddy, I need something. He says, it's your son. Go for it. It's all good. It's yours. He loves that. We don't come sheepishly. He says, come boldly to my throne. No, I didn't say that. It said it in Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to my throne of grace. Well, boldly means confident assurance. Are you willing to come boldly to God's throne of grace with confident assurance? And the reason why you have confidence and assurance is because His word doesn't return void. It can't fail. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. He's eternal. His word's eternal. He and His word are one. You get this word and you make that your response, all you'll hear is when the devil flees. What Jesus did, it is written. That's all he needed to do. That's all he needed to do. Not fighting him, resisting him. There's a big difference. Let's keep reading. So it tells us what this wrestle is about. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So there it is. People are not our enemies. We have authority over demons, not people's will. We have authority over devils, not people. If someone doesn't want to be prayed for, don't pray for them. Don't pray for them. Don't be holier than thou. If somebody doesn't want prayer, if somebody doesn't want to be delivered of something, don't. It won't work. You haven't got authority over people. And if those people are comfortable with what they're doing, then let's let them go and just intercede for them. If people are living godless lives and don't want to know about your Jesus or your Christianity, that's okay. Lift it in prayer. Do it in the spirit, not in the natural. Don't bludgeon them with the word. Don't do that. You won't find any evidence of that in Scripture with Jesus. Jesus put something out, and if they rejected him, he went on. Did he not? He went on. All those ones in John 6, when they said, this is a hard saying, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they no longer walk with him, and they all left him. And then he said to the disciples, are you guys going to go too? Are you going too? Is this too hard for you? Are you going to leave as well? That didn't move Jesus. He was only moved by the will of the Father. He said, speak this, and Jesus spoke it. He wasn't concerned about the opinions of people. Nor should we be. Nor should we be. We need to preach the word. We need to help people understand who they are in Christ, what their authority is, so that they know that we always triumph in Christ. Well, the reason why we always triumph is because the body's connected to the head. As long as the body's connected to the head, as long as we abide in him and his word abides in us, we're going to see wonderful things going on. We've got to do it this way, people. You know, I've been a Christian 34 years. Some are a lot longer in this church, some just a short space of time. But I've never found a better way to stay on top of this game, so to speak, than being in the Word every day. Letting this Word renew my mind continually to who I am, what my authority is, and what ability I have in this realm. Think about this. This New Testament is not about getting God to do something for us. That's not what the New Testament is about. It's about knowing who we are in Christ, what we have been given, and what we can do as a body. That's what the New Testament is. Not about what he can do for us. He's done it all. It's all done. Do you notice Jesus is seated? Is he not? He's seated. He's not walking around in ministry. He's not out there laying hands on people. He's not doing the works of the Father because he's delegated that to the body, the church. That's why Paul eloquently talks about the body of Christ in relation to a natural body. It's got many parts. Every part's important. It's great to see everyone in church here this morning. The more that are in church, the more the body is operating in its fullness and its completion because everyone is being gifted in the body. If the person's not present in church, the gift is absent. The grace is absent. But if you're in church, your gift can operate. That's why it's important for you know that we don't forsake the assembling together as some do because when we're absent, the body's weaker for it. But when we're present, the body's strong. So it's wonderful that you're all in church this morning hearing this word. Now, do you think the devil wants you to hear this? Do you think he wants you to understand your authority as a believer? No way. He doesn't want you to believe this. He wants you just to, you know, go about the way you're living and when it gets hard, we just cry out to God and hope something, you know, sticks. That's not how it works, people. The crying out to God days are over. You can't do that. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about where you pray and intercede for things, where there's a time when you pray, but not when it's to get the devil off your back. There's no basis for that in the New Testament. We are to exercise authority. He said, go. Did he not? Go into all the world, make disciples. In John 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and baptizes saves. He that believes not condemned. And he says, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall do. What will they do? They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the body in action. That's the church in action. Doesn't the Bible say in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit to God, resist? Who's doing the resisting? Not Jesus, the body. Where to resist him? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. We're going to talk about more about this in a few weeks' time. But I want you to see these different scriptures that show the position that we have and what's required of us. Talks about, the devil. He roams around in 1 Peter 5, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Who's to do the resisting? The church, the body, not Jesus. We have to do the resisting. We have to exercise it. You've got to speak. You've got to declare things. He's subject to that. Now, what's he subject to? Not our ranting, not our raving, not some sort of religious posturing, running around in circles with wooden crosses and stakes. None of that garbage. The only thing that he's going to resist is when you speak the authority of the word in the name of Jesus. And when you do that, he's gone. That's the authority of the believer. Everyone in this church has it. Not everyone exercises it because they don't believe it. But this word is truth. If you believe the word, it becomes your truth, and then you walk in the blessing of that truth. It's got to become your truth. That's why you've got to spend time meditating these so that we can allow this word to take hold in our lives. Hallelujah. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. When we realize that the authority that belongs to Christ also belongs to individual members of the body of Christ and is available to us, our lives will be transformed. When we know that, it'll take over. And of course, we know that the least in the body has more authority than John did. See, when we're anxious and troubled, we no longer have the high ground. When we're anxious and troubled, we don't have the high ground any longer. That's where the enemy starts. I can see some anxiousness. I'm going to play on that because anxiety is always linked to fear. Always. You can't separate them. Anxiousness and fear are intrinsically linked. So when we're anxious and troubled, that's why Jesus said, don't be troubled about anything. Don't be troubled about these things. The world's on a slippery slope, but he says, be not troubled. Well, easy for you to say. Or is it? Because if you're in Christ, if you're seated with him in heavenly places and all dominion and authority and power has been put under his feet and you're the body, then we don't need to be troubled. We don't need to be troubled. It's all good. All is well. All is well. Like the Shunammite, it is well. Shalom. It's good. Everything's okay. Hallelujah. Just coming back to verse 12 in Ephesians 6 again. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There it is again. High places, that heavenly realm. That's where that operation takes place. So the head, Jesus, is dependent on the body for carrying out his plans. It's dependent on the body. Hallelujah. Have a look at 2 Corinthians. Just go back a little bit to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to make this point too. Why are you going there? We're no longer at the cross. We've moved from the cross. We're at the throne. Don't spend time at the cross. You've got to come through the cross. Don't get me wrong. You've got to pass through the cross because, that's where death occurred. That's where death occurred. Jesus died for the sins. So spiritually speaking, we pass through that because we have to say yes to Yeshua, Jesus, before we can be redeemed. But we don't stay at the cross. We're not cross-focused Christians. We're kingdom-focused, throne-focused believers. Our authority is in the heavenly realm. The only place and the only room for the cross was Jesus. Oh, we all come to the cross. I'm not going there. You know, let's just all come to the cross. Why would you want to go to the cross when it was a place of death? They had to put a snake on a pole. That's what Jesus became, the snake on the pole. He had to become sin for you and me so that we wouldn't go to a crisis eternity. Why would you want to go to the cross? We go to, and you know what? Then there was Pentecost. But people want to stay in Pentecost. We'll move on from Pentecost too. We had the cross, then we had Pentecost, the birth of the church, but we don't stay there. We keep going so that we are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have dominion and authority over every principality and power that exists in this realm right now, today. Do we believe it? That's the question. Because if we believe it, then we'll exercise that authority and your life and my life will be very different. I'm not saying that you're not going to come under attacks. We all know his schemes. But he's a liar. What is he? He's a liar. He's a father of lies. There's no truth in him. He was a liar from the beginning. He's a deceiver. So if you have to deal with somebody in relation to some spiritual or ministry operation, don't talk to the devil in them. We don't talk to devils because all they do is tell you lies. He's a liar. Why would you talk to him? Jesus didn't talk to him. He commanded him. So if something's going on in somebody's life and they need to be delivered, just speak it. That's how it works. We don't fight devils. We fight the good fight of faith. It's very, very different. The good fight of faith is a victory for us continually. We're always in that place of faith. Why? Because Jesus is an overcomer. Who overcomes it? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Is that right? This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's the victory. And we've got it. And we're going to hold on to it. Hallelujah. Very quickly, have a look at 2 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 14. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? That's interesting. So he calls unbelievers unrighteous and he calls believers righteous. So the unbeliever is unrighteous. Of course they're unrighteous. They're not redeemed. We understand that. And that's what he's saying. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't be teamed together. That doesn't mean you don't go out in the world and rub shoulders with the unrighteous. Of course you need to. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel. We've got to be out there in the world. We're not a Christian commune. We're not some, you know, loving. We have to be out there where it's dirty and ugly and dark and messy. That's where he wants his light to shine. Go into all the world. But he says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't team up with unrighteousness. All right. Because it says, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? So the believer is light. The unbeliever is darkness. You've got to see how God sees things. Let's keep reading. What concord has Christ with Belial, the devil? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? So the believer is the church, the infidel is the unbeliever. Christ in that situation is also making reference to us. We're the body of Christ. So think about that. He says, what concord, that word concord is harmony. What harmony has the body of Christ? We're the anointed ones. We're connected with him. He's the head, we're the body. What concord or what harmony has Christ with the devil? There's no harmony. There's no yin and yang in our spirit, people. No yin and yang, no darkness in this spirit that's born again. If you're not born again, it's full of darkness. That's why you can't stand before a holy God when you die, because you've got spot on your spirit. That's the only reason why they don't go to God. Not that he's a hard God, it's because he can't look on sin. So if you're not born again in this church this morning, you want to go to God and deal with it, because you don't know your last breath. And if you've been in this church this morning and you're not saved, you've got no excuse when you get there. Remember, the sheep are going to be on the right and the goats on the left. Interesting, isn't it? The sheep on the right. We're at the right hand of Jesus, who's at the right hand of God, because that's where the body is. That's why the sheep are going to be on the right. They're going to be set on the right, the goats on the left. Goat's butt. but. This is real. No time to play church. Days of playing are over. If we don't get this as a church, if we don't rise up and understand the authority that we have, you can't walk in the victory that He's called us in this hour, and this is some of the darkest times you'll ever know. We're moving into it. It's hotting up. It's constant. It's back to back. It's like constant blows. But we can stand strong because God hasn't changed. He hasn't slipped off His throne. We're in good company. Why? Because we are seated in high places in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Very quickly, very quickly. 16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. I will be their God and they shall be my people. I'll dwell in them and walk in them. They shall be my people. I shall be their God. My goodness, the authority that we have. You get out there and understand that the Spirit of God is in you. He's in you. That's why you've got authority. That's why devils fear you. They don't fear religious people. They don't fear that. You know? But those who have authority, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Touch not the unclean thing. We want to keep ourselves pure. Don't get teamed up with the ungodly world system. It's a broken system. It's a defeated system. It's a spiritually bankrupt system. And if you stay tethered to it, you'll become those things. This is a warning for the church, people. He wants us to know this. Now, very quickly, go to John 17 for a moment. Very quickly. Need to bring this to a close pretty quick. Hallelujah. John 17. And I'm going to read from verse 15 in John, the Gospel of John, verse 15 of chapter 17. So this is a prayer he's praying to the Father. And he says this, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil. That means guard or preserve them. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. That word sanctify is separate them or make them holy. Separate them, sanctify them by your truth. By your truth, your word is truth. That's what separates us. And that's what keeps us sanctified or separated from the world, is when you've got the Word of God. The Word is truth. It's not a truth, it's the truth. You can't add to it, you can't take from it. You try to do that, you'll give an account before God. Don't ever add to this book. Don't ever add to it. Don't make out that the devil's got some authority and power he hasn't got, because he hasn't got it. He hasn't got it. And don't ever think God missed it. God never misses it. If anyone's missed it, we've missed it. God can't miss it. If God said something and it didn't come to pass, let's get before God humbly and say, God, show me where I missed it, because you can't. That's a humble heart. God can't miss it, people. No matter how much you want to fight that, God never misses it. God is love and love never fails.
Amen.
Amen. All right. All right. We're almost done. Hallelujah. One last scripture. Maybe two. John, or just go back to John 14. No. Romans. Now go forward. Romans 5:17. I've just got a lot of things going on in my thinking at the moment. Just Romans 5:17. And we'll sort of bring this to a close. Christians who understand their authority enjoy victory over the devil. Now this is really important. If you continue in his word, you are his disciples. And you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if we know the truth will make us free. That's why it sanctifies us. And look at Romans 5, verse 17. Verse 17. Hallelujah. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That word reign means to rule as a king. So are we reigning in Christ? That's what it says. Much more, it says, much more. Much more, they which received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Well, righteousness was a gift. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But we were given it because we have righteousness by grace. And we shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why we're reigning is because he's the head. We're the body. We've been seated in heavenly places with him where he is. And that's this morning's key message. Where he's seated is where we're seated. We're not these underlings that just have to get by the best way we can. No, we have dominion and authority in this earth realm and the spiritual realm. That's why he said what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, heavenly realm. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Two realms, two kingdoms that we can operate in, the natural, terrestrial, and the celestial. Both. Not heaven where God is. We don't go anywhere near that. That's his domain. We don't need to. No devil's there. So I want to finish on that this morning. And just, you know, that one verse in Scripture, in 1 John 4:4. You don't need to turn there, but it says, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Is that the case? Well, if the greater one is in us, then we operate in the authority of that. And that's a powerful thing. So think about that this morning. So we are seated with Jesus to share his throne and his authority. And he's given us the dominion. And he wants us to operate and exercise it, not the other way around. He's done everything. And that enemy is going to become his footstool and we're the feet. Amen? Let's pray.